Well, thank you very much. I will use my usual PowerPoint, but if it comes up. Yes, Sam Marsh. What we're talking about, as we say, is building resilience in a changing world. We often talk about, and Heidi just mentioned, the sense of the Anthropocene, the age of humans, the way in which humans are acting. And this diagram on the right-hand side over here talks about planetary boundaries. And we've got biodiversity issues, land change, climate change, ocean effects, interconnections between these, and I didn't show them all. We have some areas, such as stratospheric ozone loss, where we've actually made some progress, some areas where we're still working on it to be quantified. I think the important thing that I wanted to add is that it goes beyond the issues here. This is a traditional environmental kind of diagram, this one. But what we really need to do is go to this broad range of issues involving the issues, for example, of migration, and as just one example of one of the many issues. And to deal with these things, we need to understand where are the tipping points in a broad sense of that word. Where are the things where we would go beyond the sense that we as a society could not recover? And what actions can get us to turn back? And these are really critically important policy issues for societies, for governments. They're not just science questions. They're social, political, cultural issues involving a broad range of issues. So we need to deal with these converging crises, the need for, as we say, profound social transformation. So just in my quick little way of putting them, we tend to think, unfortunately, disaster risk reduction, climate change, development, poverty, health, as population, migration, as separate issues. I think we need to start to think of them in a more integrated way, working around this diagram of things, connecting so that we have science-based, including social sciences, health, engineering, natural sciences, ways of looking at that, issues of cultures and societies, security issues, and recognizing there is the UN process of disaster risk reduction, sustainable development goals, COP21. But the challenge for scientists is to, let's say, work together to provide the policy and practice information so we can actually transform to a resilient, sustainable, and just world, however we define that. For those who aren't disaster specialists, this is the formal UN definition of a disaster: a serious disruption of the community, exceeding ability to cope, and beyond their own resources. And the reality is, no matter how you count them or define them, the number of disasters around this planet is increasing very significantly for a variety of reasons. So what is a resilient society? Again, I'm using here a disaster risk reduction kind of approach, but I think it has some sense of on any issue. You have a diagram that can look like this, where you have here the community's capacity to operate normally, whatever that is up here, and we want to look at how the community is functioning before whatever this event is. And if we're a non-resilient society, we have a rather catastrophic drop in capacity to operate. It levels off and it recovers very slowly, and unfortunately ends up as a post-event community that is less resilient, less capacity than before the event. So there is a net overall drop. And what we want to do is transform and find the ways, as scientists, in the broad definition of that word, we can get it so that the impacts aren't felt so dramatically, where the recovery is more rapid and cost-effective, and we end up, in fact, as a resilient society with higher, let's say, functioning capacity than we had before. So we use this kind of approach. So what are the scientific bases for doing this? That's the challenge for us. We don't know in all cases, but that's what we're trying to do. And as we say, for disaster, hazards, vulnerability, exposure, these are all things, but the important thing I wanted emphasize is we need to build resilience across communities. It's not done on a global basis, just some magic set of formulas. We have to work with communities. We have to build upon the international agreements that are existing and building up, take a systems approach, dealing with these things in an integrated way, consult with community and stakeholders, and where appropriately join and strengthen existing research networks. The Sendai Agreement, just quickly, has these words, resilience in it, understanding, importantly, risk governance. And there will be a conference in which I'm sure Virginia will talk more about. Where'd she go? Oh, there, she's hidden down behind Eva, sorry. thought she'd disastered out already. anyway, in January in Geneva, many of us will be meeting to discuss an action plan, going beyond a network, a framework for action. The Sustainable Development Goals have ones, and I just circle a few of them. Building resilient infrastructure, cities, human settlements, inclusive, safe, resilient. But again, strengthen the means of implementation and revitalize the global partnership for sustainable development. We need to work in this framework, but again, building beyond it. So we do have a program within the Council of Science on disaster risk reduction, which has its objectives, understanding hazards, vulnerability, and risk, effective decision-making, what actions can we take, and we have a number of networks already in place on resilience. But these are focused on, let's say, what we might call natural disasters, but we need to think now broadly in that sense of into the broader sense of those. Future Earth will be dealing with these things. And we have a whole network of organizers, and I think I've already shown this one, but again, within the Future Earth program, we're looking at issues such as, healthy, resilient cities. Again, the sense of resilience is a common feature in many of these programs, but how do we work them together, not duplicating, but not forcing, let's say, cooperation in a way that is less than effective. So we have these programs, they feed into assessment processes, climate change, IPBES. There is the scientific committee, S&T advisory group, which Virginia is the vice chair of on the IRDR side. How do we integrate all this so we, as we say, we feed into all these in a collective way to build a globally resilient societies? And it's not one by itself, but some kind of approach that brings this together. And this diagram gets a bit complicated, but the idea, I think, is clear that we deal with these things as projects and programs that we have to find mechanisms, approaches that we can then bring it together in an integrated way. And one of that is this idea of co-design, co-production, co-delivery, working with the stakeholders right at the beginning in all of our projects so that we can have a better way of addressing the intergenerational and international equity issues for our children, grandchildren, and everyone else, and using evidence-based policies for building resilience in a changing world for all the nations around the globe. And with that, remember, we're facing this tidal wave. Thank you for your attention.